Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Breaking down every last second of game tape for Sunday's matchup.
Who's your connection?
You sound like a cop to me.
Who's your connection?
Enter Vinny's Film Room on 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Eddie, 105.7 The Fan. Woman Crush Wednesday, 12 weeks done. Week 13 starts tomorrow with Pittsburgh taking on the Browns. We'll get into all of that in due time. However, what? Monday, Tuesday. I guess 4 days after the fact.
Yep.
Call it that. I might be off by a day. Ravens licking their wounds. 18-16 losers to the Pittsburgh Steelers. But 18 kind of stands out because we've seen the Ravens give up that in a quarter.
Yeah.
Before. So let's break down the film. Ravens defense looking back to Sunday.
All right. Going into the game, you know, we wanted to see what all that film work the weekend before and all what changes they made. And one of the biggest changes was they benched Marcus Williams and they put Kyle Hamilton and Washington, Adarius Washington, at the safeties. So they always had, most times, two deep, a lot of, and other times one safety deep middle of the field. So they always had somebody protecting deep, and it looked like the game plan was to keep the ball inside and in front. Deeper in the deepest, wider in the widest. If they want to throw it short, we're going to rally up and tackle. And for most parts, that's what they did. And like you said, Bob, they only gave up 18 points. They were great on third down. So it was a marked improvement. No touchdowns given up. They gave up a big play, you know, a couple big plays, and one over the head. Two guys who... Go ahead.
But what were Washington and White doing that the guys they were replacing?
Well, Washington had 10. Washington was extremely aggressive, run and pass, played a ball in the air, read the quarterback well, was engaged in contact. That's the biggest thing. Now, I thought two guys played poorly, you know, that stood out to me as playing poorly in that game. Number one, Brandon Stevens. You know, we knew they were going to throw a lot of moon balls. He gave up one down the sidelines, you know, to Pickens. I mean, yeah, was it a good throw? Yeah. But, I mean, get your hands on him and disrupt him and don't let him have total free release. And the other one, Calvin Austin, could have caught it, bounced off his shoulder pads. It was nothing Stevens did. And Stevens misses way too many tackles for me. Now, when they moved him inside, put Tre'Davious White on the outside, then he was playing over a tight end most of the time, and that worked out fine for him. And Tre'Davious White, I said this last week when he came in, he's super smart, and he's got awareness, and he's got ball skills, and he's got some strength at the line of scrimmage. Deep speed, not great. And he, you know, maybe it's because of the injury, because he's only 29. But he played the ball extremely well. And his guys never caught the ball. So I thought that was an upgrade. And I could see, and even Harb said, I'm looking forward to seeing him's expanded role. And I think the expanded role is going to be him on the outside and Stevens on the inside. That's what I think is probably coming more. And the other guy who played terrible, I thought, was Trenton Simpson. Thought he was awful. Thought he played small. Thought he played light. Missed tackles. Wasn't good in coverage. When 80 caught the ball down the middle of the field one time, he goes out to jam a Bob and just whiffs on him. I mean, disrupt him a little bit. I know he's 280 pounds, but if you disrupt, if you just make him, like, hesitate a little bit, that 280 pounds to get going again, he's not down the middle of the field. And Simpson on the inside, he was hesitant, played small, letting receivers block him. I didn't like his game at all. I thought, I don't know if he was intimidated by the atmosphere, by the intensity, by the speed, but he didn't look, he looked like they were with 10 out there.
Yeah, but why that game? You know what I mean? Because he had started all season long, and as we said Monday, Vinny, you know, it didn't help that Patrick Queen played his ass off, guy that he replaced.
The two guys that played great were Roquan. He had 13 tackles in three quarters. And Harrison ended up with 6. Roquan would have had over 20 tackles in that game. Queen had 10. So, I mean, it was kind of like those two were doing one-on-one battle, you know, because both played great in the game. Both played awesome in the game. So, Harrison came in and played. If Roquan's going to be out, Bob, Harrison will be okay between the tackles. But in pass coverage, not so good. And then wide, that's going to be tough for him too. But if they want to, and really, Dobbins is not a speedster, and neither is Gus Bus. So that may play okay for them. Thought Owe played good. Had 2.5 sacks, caused some problems in there. And the thing with Vannoy plays smart, you know, like if the quarterback's booting and stuff, he's always in position. But he's not winning a lot of one-on-one battles right now.
Yeah, one tackle, you know.
Yeah. And I thought the inside guys, you know, Travis Jones went out again. That ankle still must not be right. But I thought Broderick Washington had a hell of a game. He was active. Run and pass. He was pushing the pocket. So was Matabike. Thought those guys played well. I thought Marlon played well. Hamilton played well. You know, and Adarius Washington. I mean, that was good to see because they were a much more aggressive, faster, more physical defense. There's two guys that missed tackles a lot. Brandon Stevens and Trenton Simpson. Those two guys were the tackle missers in that game, and I don't think either one. Now, Adisa Isaac got to play a couple plays, Bob, and he batted the one ball down. Other than that, he was okay. You know, I mean, he didn't really do anything. But overall, let's see if they can stack them, if they can have another good performance this week against the Chargers. And they're going to have to play, you know, Jim Harbaugh is going to want to run the football. So we've got to stop the run again. That's going to be critical, and I think that they should be able to do that. And then what's Tre'Davious White's role, expanded role, going to be? And with Stevens, what's his role going to be? Because, I mean, Bob, hadn't he given up, I want to say he's given up something every game, passing-wise, down the field. Seems like it anyhow.
Yeah, well, we notice him for what the other guy's doing, not for his playmaker.
And everybody, you know, everybody says, well, can't he turn and look? And he can't. It's been, how many years he been here?
Three?
No.
Third year? 4 year?
Fourth? Let me see. Stevens came out 21.
21, 22, 23. Fourth year.
Yeah, and he hadn't been able to fall the ball in 4 years. So that isn't changing. That's not changing. And his tackling, he just lunges all the time. I hate that. Keep your feet. Keep your feet. And that's the same thing Simpson was doing, too.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. So we're talking about the defense that played well, with the exception, as Vinny said, of a couple of guys. We'll get to the offense coming up at 12 o'clock news from the Nest, as the Ravens had a real hard time generating a lot of momentum against the Pittsburgh defense. Hey, how much of a factor was that? Their defensive schemes in it. We got, Whipper Up coming up next. Going to talk about what happened in the world of sports last night. And then it's Notes from the North. We're going to Cleveland. We're going to Cincinnati. We're going to Pittsburgh. We'll tell you with who later.
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're on in the app.
Vinny and Hades whip.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County.
1057 The Fan.
Vinny and Hades, 1057 The Fan. Here on this Woman Crush Wednesday, time for the whip around. As we talked about earlier, Maryland 108-37 over Canisius. What's my math say? That's a 71-point win? I mean, are we on point with that? 71. Seven Maryland players in double figures. All five starters. Julian Reese leading the way. He had a double-double. So Maryland now 4-1 on the year, bouncing back nicely. Thank you very much. Against the team they were 30-point favorites to beat. Now you have Villanova coming up on the 24th, which is Sunday, 1 o'clock, up in Brooklyn, where the Brooklyn Nets play. So that'll be an interesting matchup for two teams. Remember, Villanova beat Maryland last year. Big Ten last night, kind of on a national level. Number 15, Marquette, who just won here in College Park. 76-58 over the Boilermakers, Cam Jones. Triple-double, 17-13-10. For only third triple-double in Marquette history. First one since Dwayne Wade did it 21 years ago in the Final Four. Or was it the Elite Eight? I think it was the Elite Eight when they knocked out Kentucky. Coming up tonight, as it relates to the Big Ten, number 25, Illinois, taking on number 8, Alabama, in Birmingham. So, Big Ten trying to build a little, what do they call that? The RPI. I don't even know if that's a thing anymore. But trying to build some conference strength, perhaps, tonight with Illinois taking on the Crimson Tide. NBA last night. Cleveland loses to Boston 120-117. It's the NBA Cup. First loss of the year for the Cavs. Boston was blowing them out early. Then the Cavaliers got hot. I don't know if anybody watched it, but I was enjoying this entertaining game as Cleveland came from behind. Jason Tatum's a stud. 33-12-7 in the win for the Celtics, defending champs. But Cleveland's for real. They're a real squad because they were getting hammered, and then they were making the Celtics sweat late. And it almost kind of came down to the wire there. Denver 122-110 over Memphis. No Joker. He's missed three straight games with personal issues. Jokic hasn't played three games. But Santi Aldama lost for Memphis, 28 points, 11 rebounds. It was San Antonio 110-104 over Oklahoma City. Aaron Wiggins, University of Maryland. He had 11 points in that one. We'll get more into this one in the 12 o'clock hour. But Oregon, Ohio State, Texas, Penn State, Indiana, top five in the college football playoff rankings. But the top four seeds in the playoffs are Oregon, Texas, Miami, and Boise State, who surpasses BYU, who lost last week at home to Kansas. So Boise, whose only loss was to Oregon in the second week of the season, they're now in the top four. All of these matchups are intriguing if we want to look at it the way it stands now. but this is very much subject to change. Watching ESPN this morning, even if Indiana loses to Ohio State, still like a 95% chance they make the playoffs.
Okay. And then it would be Oregon, Ohio State in a Big Ten championship game.
Rematch from their game earlier this season. Major League Baseball, we talked about it earlier. Corbin Burns, Anthony Santander, they reject it. I prefer decline. Reject it means like Mutombo and Manute Bolger just came out, swatted that nonsense out of the air. But Burns and Santander decline qualifying offers, making them free agents officially if they sign elsewhere. Orioles will be draft pick compensation. Stephen Vogt, Cleveland, and Pat Murphy, Milwaukee, were named as the managers of the year. Two first-year managers. Stephen Vogt actually played for the Brewers when Pat Murphy was a coach for Great Council. And by the way, Nolan, give me my flowers, as the young kids say, because I called Stephen Vogt manager of the year at the All-Star break. So congratulations to me. I actually thought the Mets guy was going to edge out Murphy.
I did, too. But I texted Murph last night. He was excited.
How about that? And then it's this day in sports history here on the Whip Around, video at 81057 The Fan. It's November the 20th, 1977, Memorial Stadium. The Colts taking on the Jets. That's right. The New York Jets at Memorial Stadium. Burt Jones, three touchdown passes, one to Ray Chester, one to Shake and Bake Lundowdy, one to Lydell Mitchell. Lyle Blackwood at three picks. On his way to 10 picks that year, Colts improved to 9-1 on the season on their way to their third straight AFC East Championship. And then 2011, M&T Bank Stadium. Ravens beat the Bengals 31-24. Joe Flacco, two touchdowns, one to Anquan Boldin, one to Torrey Smith. Ray Rice rushes for two. Ed Reed, Ladarius Webb, Jimmy Smith, all with picks as the Ravens beat Cincinnati, who was a playoff team that year, the Bengals. 2011, 31-24. We'll talk about the current day Bengals and the Browns and the Steelers when we come back. Notes from the North, and then a fun house trip with Nolan McGraw. News from the Nest, it's going to be film study of the Ravens offense. It's Wilbur Crush Wednesday. You want to get in, you can here on The Fan.
Bengals.
Chase to the end zone. That's a Bengal touchdown.
Browns.
Tossed down. Miles Garrett gets home.
Steelers. Ravens.
Lamar winding up, going deep for Bateman. He's got it.
The toughest division in football. Notes from the North. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Top talks of AFC North. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw's on the other side of the glass. Ravens, we talk about them a lot, but let's bounce around the division. We'll start it off on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Cleveland from the Big Play Network. Let's welcome back to the show Mike Borman. Mike, good morning. Thanks for joining us as always. And look, we can get into the record and why the Browns are where they are, but that's like low-hanging fruit. But Nick Chubb is back. How close to being, air quotes, back is Nick Chubb to being the dude that was the disruptor on Sundays?
Boy, you know, I don't, that's been well talked about here. I think he's just missing that explosion through the hole. You know what I mean? Like he's still strong as hell. You could see him bouncing off a few guys. You could see him, you know, really driving those legs, and the effort's always going to be there. But the thing that really, I think, separated Nick Chubb from a lot of backs is, you know, that one cut and bam, he's gone. And it just doesn't feel like he has that. You know, obviously we hope he gets that back. I don't know if it's going to be before the end of the season. Quite frankly, guys, unfortunately, I don't know if it's going to matter with this team. But for Nick Chubb's sake, because we all love him here in Cleveland, and that's not exactly there aren't exactly a lot of guys right now that fans are in love with. But Nick Chubb is definitely one of them.
Hey, Mike, what's the health like for tomorrow night?
As far as, like, Miles Garrett?
As far as the star, any of the starters, yes.
Okay, well, DeJuan Jones, as you guys know, is out. He, the left tackle, broke his fibula. He had surgery yesterday. So an offensive line that was already juggling things, DeJuan Jones is out. Of course, he replaced Jed Wills, who quote unquote made a business decision a couple weeks ago that didn't go over real well in the media or the fan base. And then Myles Garrett was idle yesterday. Guys, it's been really weird with him. You know, last week he really didn't contribute anything. Obviously, a lot of attention's paid to him, but he's had an abdomen injury. He's had a foot injury. He's very hush-hush because I know he doesn't want to use excuses, but he is clearly not 100%. I don't know. I mean, he was idle yesterday. That could just be, you know, they want to make sure that he's going to be okay for game day. I would think he's going to give it a go, but how much Myles Garrett is going to be Myles Garrett, I have no idea.
Now, Mike, what's the level of excitement from the fans, from the team, and then what are your expectations for tomorrow night against the Steelers? Because that's kind of a rival game for Cleveland, isn't it?
Yeah, it is when both teams are actually, you know, fighting for something in the division. I mean, you know, they're excited because it's a Thursday night, because it's prime time, because it's Pittsburgh. But, you know, it's like Browns fans get a taste of, you know, with last year and 2020, where it's like it's competitive. It means something beyond just a rivalry. But, again, you go back to, right now fans are talking about the Cavs being 15-1. And they're excited. I mean, this is always going to be a Browns town, but it's just you know, this has been just a disaster of a season, really from day one and beyond that from training camp.
By the way, that Cavs-Celtics game was a hell of a game. Anyway, Mike, last thing for you. We know Deshaun Watson, let's just say, has not worked out in Cleveland, understatement. But is Jameis Winston doing enough to at least put him in the conversation of possibly being the dude going into next year, maybe bridging gaps or anything like that?
Well, I think it's the latter part of that is interesting. As far as bridging gaps, possibly, I don't think he has. And he hasn't played poorly. The Browns need to figure out who they are, what they are offensively. Is it Stefanski's offense? Is it Dorsey's offense? Are they, you know, with Deshaun Watson, they wanted to cater to that spread, shotgun spread for it. And it just, nothing ever seemed to work. So I think first and foremost, Jameis has played well enough. But there's no way they can look at him and think he's the guy moving forward. But it's so much bigger than just him right now. It's trying to figure out what the hell they're doing offensively and really as an entire team. I hate saying it, but, I mean, that's kind of where they're at.
Mike Borman, Big Play Network, talking Browns. Mike, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of your week.
You got it, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Mike Borman. Let's go to Pittsburgh. Those sons of bitches beat the Ravens on Sunday, and here to talk about that from the Associated Press Media at 81057 The Fan. Notes from the North, he is Will Graves. Will, thanks for joining us as always. Let's talk about the Steelers defensively, the game plan going against the Ravens. This high-powered, dynamic offense, pick your poison, has been a phrase used around here to try to defend Baltimore all season long. Well, Ravens offense was poisoned by Pittsburgh defense. What was the big key as you saw it?
I think the big key is that the Steelers are in the Ravens' head. The idea that, you know, Todd Monken would only give the ball to Derrick Henry 13 times and not have him on the field for a two-point conversion with a minute and some left is, I mean, that is just that is insanity. Like, how do you do that? I just think, you know, the Steelers are really good about preventing big plays. They're not a splash play type of group. You know, that's sort of, as Mike Tomlin likes to say, they like to keep a lid on it. But the thing, and I wrote about this, you know, multiple times on Thursday, on Sunday, on Monday, like, there were times out there that Lamar looked lost. Like, he wasn't sure what to do. Like, he's scrambling around. He's looking for guys. And I'm like, dude, why don't you just run? Just run. And he wouldn't. And he got no help from the receivers. You know, obviously, there were a couple of big drops in that game. But, you know, look, the Steelers defense is really good. And the thing, and I wrote about this a little bit yesterday, I mean, the guys, it's not just the T.J. Watts and the Cam Haywards and the Mika Fitzpatricks that are making plays for them. It's Nick Herbig who caused the fumble early in the game. It's Peyton Wilson, the rookie linebacker, who just absolute thievery against Justice Hill. You know, they have Beanie Bishop, you know, an undrafted rookie free agent at West Virginia who's got three picks and has been so good as that slot corner that that has allowed Cam Sutton, who's now come off the suspended list, to because we all thought, well, that's what he's going to do when he comes back. They don't need him there. So they can use him basically as like a third safety on the field at times. It's just they're really versatile and they're healthy. That's outside of Alex Highsmith. And really, like, the young guys are producing maybe at levels that I think even the team didn't anticipate. So it's a good quality group, helped, in my opinion, by some really, really curious decision-making by the Ravens offense.
Hey, Will, I totally agree with you. I thought the play of the game was the interception because Ravens complete that ball. They're on the 35-yard line going in, and they're probably going to score. You know, and then they're going to take the lead. And then Pittsburgh went back down and kicked a field goal. And I thought that was a big, big part of the difference in the game.
Yeah, no, I talked to Peyton Wilson for a while yesterday. And they repped that play in practice last week. And I asked Peyton, I said, how many times did the scout team hit you with that wheel route to the running back? And he goes, well, every time they threw it, I had overplayed the receiver, so he was in front of them. So he was like, you know, because he was trying to prevent the big play. But if you watch the replay of that play, there was somebody making a crossing route in front of him. And in practice, all week he had gone over top of that receiver. Well, he was worried about the little flare, so he actually undercut that crossing pattern and was behind Hill during the route. He's like, I gambled. And then I was like, oh crap, I gambled. I got to make up for this. And that sort of just led to that sort of instinctual play there. So, interesting, you know, when I asked around yesterday about Peyton, you know, Terrell Austin, Patrick Queen, the Landon Roberts, all these guys talked about his football IQ. And I mean, look, it's weird. This guy is a third round pick. He was the Buckus Award winner last year. He was the best linebacker in college football. And there was this rumor going around that because he tore his ACL twice in his right knee, once in high school and once in college, he wasn't, teams were afraid of him. Well, he has his ACL, and the Steelers, who have been looking really for solidity at the inside linebacker since Ryan Shazier got hurt in 2017. They have, in the span of the last, 18 months, they've gotten Landon Roberts. They've got, they signed Queen, who certainly looks, and you guys saw it, I mean, certainly looks like a disruptive player, a possible Pro Bowl level type player. And you've got, Roman Wilson or Peyton Wilson, who's just come in and been, you know, just really, really steady and really, especially in passing situations, a guy that can do some versatile stuff. So they are deep. Are they good? I mean, like, that's the thing, right? Like, I certainly expect them to kind of go and stub their toe against the Browns tomorrow night. I mean, they've lost, you know, four out of their last six up there. The other one was one of the other ones was a tie. They struggle on Thursday night games under Tomlin on the road. So I think, you know, it's weird. Like, I think all the progress that they made on Sunday against the Ravens could be wiped out with a clunker tomorrow night, which I certainly think is possible.
Fingers crossed in Baltimore. Real great. Will Graves from the Associated Press. Will, as always, appreciate the time. Enjoy the game tomorrow night against the Brownies, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Will.
All right, thanks, guys.
There's Will Graves, Associated Press. So he's fearing the trap game, which is always fun and exciting. It's Vinny at Haney 105.7 The Fan here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Notes from the North. Ravens getting ready for the L.A. Chargers coming up Monday night in L.A. Ravens 3-point favorites in that game. Ravens do get back to practice today. No Harbaugh, no podium for the players, but it is open locker room, so hopefully we have some fun coming out of one winning drive when we reconvene tomorrow. But let's go to Cincinnati. Fox 19, let's welcome back to the show Joe Dannemann. Joe, good morning. Appreciate the time. And look, we know the Bengals' offense is good. I mean, Burrow's thrown 9 touchdown passes against the Ravens. They were lighting up that Chargers D, which is one of the best in the National Football League. But is there a genesis to why the defense is as shaky as it's been this season?
Yeah, you're looking at a front office in Cincinnati, guys, that just did not get the job done this offseason. They saw a couple of years ago that they were going to have to pay Joe Burrow. They're going to have to pay Ja'Marr Chase. So they decided to heavily invest in the draft in defensive players, and they just haven't hit on their draft picks defensively the last couple of years. They spent their top 3 picks each of the last 2 drafts on defense, and they don't have a lot to show for it. And some of these emerging young players that we thought last year that had experience, were going to get experience and start to develop, just haven't done it. And then in the offseason, they tried to supplement with some free agents. And the free agents they brought in, Sheldon Rankins, Von Bell, Geno Stone, who you guys know, just have not played good football. And so you're looking at a team that saw what they had to do with defense, getting younger, getting cheaper on that side of the football. It just hasn't worked. They haven't evaluated and haven't targeted the right players, and they're paying for it with now a 4-7 record.
Now, Joe, you guys seem like you're in the same situation as the Ravens. I mean, an expensive kicker who's been not productive for you and it's cost you games.
Yeah, and that's been interesting because he was a guy the first 2 years in the NFL. You know, he doesn't have the track record of Justin Tucker over as many years as Justin has. But the first 2 years, not only was he an accurate kicker, he was accurate from 50-plus and was clutch. And now the two things that have really cost him this year is he's not making kicks beyond 50 yards, and he's not making clutch kicks. Now, they have changed the punter, so he has a different holder. He continues to say, Evan McPherson says, that it's not the holder, it's not the process, it's him that's just not kicking well. But he's pulling everything to the left. And at this point, I don't know how you don't lack confidence if you're Zach Taylor when you get into situations where you have to turn the ball over to your kicker or go for it on fourth down. I mean, they just did invest in Evan McPherson, the long-term contract, a guy that they drafted, a guy that they thought was going to be their kicker for the next 10 years. And I don't think that changes, but at this point right now, I just don't know what kind of confidence Zach Taylor and the rest of the coaching staff can have in him to make the clutch kicks he once made over and over here in Cincinnati.
Joe Dannemann, Fox 19, Cincinnati Bengals on bye this week. 6 games left. Record needs to be what for them to get to the playoffs?
So there's a path for them to get there at 9 wins, but considering they have one AFC win through 11 weeks, I think 10 is going to have to be the number, and that means they have to win out. And I don't see that happening for this team. Certainly anytime they walk onto the field with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, they're dangerous, and no playoff team wants to see the Bengals because of that offense. But to win 6 consecutive games with a defense that's one of the worst in the NFL, and right now this season the Bengals just aren't making the big play when they have to, I don't see a path for them to run the table and get to the playoffs. It's going to have to be an offseason of trying to fix this defense via free agency in the draft, and then go again next year. The question is, how many changes will we make on the coaching staff in the meantime?
Well, Joe, enjoy the bye week and get back at it against Pittsburgh in a couple of weeks. Joe Dannemann, Fox 19, Cincinnati. Joe, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Yep, next time, guys.
All right, thanks. Joe. There you go. Joe Dannemann, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney. We'll come back, reset the program for you. Woman Crush Wednesday. Vinny's film breakdown, news from the Nest style. Coming up 11 o'clock, talk about that Ravens offense. What went wrong? Buy or sell? Where's the midweek money? We'll look at the college football playoff rankings. NFL lunch, 1 o'clock. Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. We'll preview week 12 of the NFL season with him later in the show. Boston Bruins fired their coach 2 years ago. Jim Montgomery led them to the greatest regular season in the history of hockey. Not even 2 years later, he's on the unemployment line.
I think they're like 8-9-2, Bob, and they're underachieving, and their stars are not playing well.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Nolan, how you doing over there?
Feeling pretty good. I mean, look, they're playing Canisius last night, but when the Terps score over 100... blow a team out by 71, I think we're allowed to celebrate that. I think we're allowed to be happy about that. So I'm going to be happy about it. Moving forward, though, really, I wouldn't even call it a concern, but the only thing I'd like to see is just continue to smooth out this rotation. The talent is certainly there for this team, no doubt about it. And the starting five on any given night, I feel like all 5 guys are a legit option to score. It's not like you're just focusing on one or two that you're trying to force feed the ball. Just got to figure out the rotations a little bit, figure out how to get your 2 big men to play better a little bit together at the same time, match their skill sets. I thought when Derek Queen came in that you could create a 2 big man setup similar to what they had with Bruno Fernando and Sticks a few years back. Maybe a little bit different skill sets here, but having them on the court together is what's most important. Because you can't have, you know, Reese as your starter and then have to take him out, put Queen in, because they can't coexist. If they're humming together, Maryland could be very dangerous.
And look, Reese has scored 20 points in 2 of their 5 games. And he's more of the in-the-paint Bruno sort of guy. Derek Queen can take it. He's not a pure 3-point shooter, but he's got that capability like Jalen Smith did. And Jalen Smith bangs threes at the NBA level now. So they can coexist. I think an interesting change to the lineup was Rice in for Harris Smith. Because Rodney Rice brings a little explosiveness from beyond the perimeter. And we heard Damon talk about it. That Malachi Palmer, I think, is going to be an asset. Freshman guard down the stretch here, too. Deshaun Harris Smith, lack of confidence in the shots, well documented. He was a premier recruit. Remember before he played his first game at Maryland? One and done, two and done at best. I mean, let's just hope he gets it together and has a strong four-year career in College Park.
And I really don't know what you do with him. It's still early, obviously, this year. Plenty of time for him to turn it around. But seeing him miss those free throws at the end of the Marquette game when that was a prime opportunity to steal the game.
He almost started crying on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, you feel bad, but it's like, what do you do? I don't have a problem taking him out of the starting five. I really liked what Rice gave you off the bench. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve to start, but having that kind of shooting that you can bring off the bench as a sixth man is very valuable. I don't know if Harris Smith gives you that.
But maybe Palmer and Jay Young do, who both shot the ball very well last night.
Certainly the case. And Selton Miguel.
Yeah.
Be a glue
guy.
Well,
he's been, he's that dude. He was part of that Angolan Olympic team with Bruno Fernando, as a matter of fact. Tried to get in, didn't, but he's now in Maryland helping the Terps achieve good things. But got to beat Villanova. Syracuse looms in another week or so. And then the Big Ten in a big, big way.
No doubt about it. Well, I did forget what day of the week it was earlier in the show. Didn't remember it was Woman Crush Wednesday.
Correct.
But I do remember that it's Wise Wednesday. So we're going to give away a $25 Wise Markets gift card right now. I'm looking for caller number 7 at 410-583-1057. If you're caller number 7, $25 gift card is yours.
Caller number 7 on the 47th anniversary of Burt Jones throwing 3 touchdown passes. Number 7 down at Memorial Stadium against the Jets. We'll come back. News from the Nest. Vinny's film breakdown of the Ravens offense. The loss to Pittsburgh. What happened? Why the turnovers? What's up with all the penalties? Why was Lamar off his game? Buy or sell coming up at 12:15. If you want to join us, you can at 410-583-1057. Ravens are road favorites again against a team that has a better record than them. Why the respect for the Ravens?